So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but this man said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scriptures says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And this is what the soldiers did.
It was all so ordinary, wasn't it? Matthew says that when they crucified Jesus, they sat down, all in a day's work. I can imagine them turning up for duty that morning, can't you? They reported at the barracks and there on the notice board, the duty roster. What each man was to do, where he was to be, where he was to go, under whose command he was to serve. Four names were set apart. They were on execution duty. They were the crucifiers, all in a day's work. They didn't say, "Oh no." They'd done it before. It was part of what they were for. So in due course, they went to the office and they picked up the names of the people who were down for execution. And they picked up an authorization so that they could go to the store and pick up the required quantity of nails and a hammer or two. It's all in a day's work. So they got on with the job and, as Matthew says, they sat down. And then they thought, "What's in it for us?" Because their perk for the day was whatever poor belongings the executed had left, namely his clothes. And so they took his tunic and his other clothes, and they divided the clothes among themselves. How many times had they done it before? They came to that special tunic that was woven in one piece, and their mercenary instincts took over again. "It'd be a shame to tear that up. Look, it's all in one piece. Let's cast lots for it." All ordinary. It wasn't so much callous as unthinking. But it was real, wasn't it? Doesn't it bring home the reality? They took his clothes and strung him up naked, high in the sunlight. We used to sing, though he was rich, so rich, yet for our sakes, how poor he became. Even his garments. Even his garments, they parted when he hung on the cross of shame. All that he had, he gave for me. Yeah, the punishment was inflicted on earth by thoughtless people, and it was endured by Jesus by voluntary act. All that he had, he gave for me. Literally hung out to dry. Another song came back to me. I think you may know this one. No room for the Savior in Bethlehem's inn. Only a cattle shed. No room on earth for the dear Son of God. Nowhere to lay his head. Only a cross did they give to my Lord. Only a borrowed tomb. Today he is seeking a place in your heart. Will you still say to him, no room? Don't let it evaporate into sentiment. Open your heart to Jesus in true devotion. Don't let the emotion of Good Friday swamp you. Be logical. There is a logical service, says Paul in Romans 12 and verse 1, using that actual word. There is something logical to do if he gave all for us. Should we not open our hearts to him? So the suffering was endured on earth, accepted by Jesus. But marvel of marvels, beloved, it was planned in heaven. It was by God's intention. For I read to you in the passage which we have just heard read to us, this was to fulfill what the scripture says. They divided my clothing amongst them, and for my clothes they cast lots. Psalm 22, written by David 1,000 years earlier. Did the soldiers think that they were in charge? Did they think that they had the handling of the situation? They didn't wake up that morning and say, what's in the scripture union portion? Oh, it's Psalm 22. They'd no idea. They were getting on with what an earthly authority told to do, and they didn't know that earthly authority, yes, and they themselves, were being mastered by the Word of God. So that they did exactly to the letter what God had said 1,000 years earlier must happen to his king. They divided my clothes among them, and upon my vesture they cast lots. Exactly. There's a marvelous verse in Acts, and it rings in our mind and memory in the old English of the Authorized Version with which we grew up, that Jesus was delivered up, listen to me, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You see how secure that makes our salvation? It's not, we speak humanly, not just the work of Jesus. It's the work of the whole Trinity, God himself. There is a love which drew salvation's plan, and that's the love of the Father. There is a grace that brought it down to man, and that is the grace of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes and he takes what the Father planned and what Jesus accomplished and brings it home with reality to us as our salvation. Beloved, there's nothing further. There's no overplus. There's nothing in God beyond what we see in Jesus. So that there's no way in which we have a merciful Son and an angry Father. There's no way in which we might have an anxiety. Yes, Jesus loves me, but does the Father love me? The whole love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, came to a point at the cross when the Son of God loved me and gave himself on my behalf. How secure our salvation is. How secure our future is in heaven. When we die, we pass immediately into the hands of Jesus. Do you know him as your Savior? You pass into the hands of love. And since Jesus is the eternal mediator, we pass through the hands of his love into the hands of the Father. We pass from love to love. How secure is our salvation and our eternal future? It's all love. Love all the way. The love that drew salvation's plan, the grace that brought it down to man. Have you opened your heart to Jesus? Will you do it now?